All right, so we're in a series, and I need to tell you that underlying this series has been the presumption, kind of foundational to what we've been talking about, is that you guys have battles and struggles in your life. Would you say amen to that? That just means yes, I agree with you. Battles and struggles, amen? All right, every single day we have things that come at us. Some of us are going to have something start tomorrow that we aren't expecting, but it's coming. Maybe not. I hope you have a great Monday, but I'm telling you, things come at us, you know that, in this life. So you have battles, you have struggles, and what we've been saying is that, and this is kind of the presumption in the series, that there's actually a battle behind that battle. That's not the only battle. It's not just what you see in front of you. There's something going on behind that battle, a struggle, and that struggle is a spiritual struggle. And that's where, for some of us, it gets kind of weird. If you're not a Christian, I'm so glad you're here. You might go, that's kind of weird. That's kind of mysterious. You're saying there's like a spiritual world. Yes, I am saying that. And in fact, I would say that sometimes Christians, very often Christians, struggle to believe that that's real. So we've been talking about the fact that it is and that we need to be prepared because there is a spiritual battle. There are struggles that we have that are spiritual, and we need to be ready for them. And so in the scripture, we've been camped out in the book of Ephesians, and I just want to intro this again. I've used this image weekly, I think. I think we're in week three of this series, and I've been saying that what Paul does, the guy who writes this first century letter to a church, when he talks about spiritual battles and how to be ready for them, is he takes the curtain and he pulls it back, and it's kind of like we're looking at the stage of life, and we're like, all that's there is what I see, and he pulls back the curtain and says, no, there's other stuff going on behind the scenes. That is the battle behind the battle. That is the spiritual battle. And so we've been camped out in Ephesians chapter 6, which I want to bring to you again. You all are going to know this scripture by the end of this series. If you don't, and you've been coming, you're going to know this. So Ephesians chapter 6 says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. He talks about spiritual armor for a spiritual battle so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That is what we can see, the person sitting next to us. That's not the struggle. Our struggle is against rulers, authorities, powers in the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, because of that, because there's a battle behind the battle, because there's a struggle behind the struggle, because I've pulled back the curtain, Paul says, and revealed to you that everything you see is not all there is, there's also a spiritual world. Because of that, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, because it does come, again, for some of you, tomorrow, something evil may happen, something may come at you, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to, I love this, stand your ground, and after you've done everything, after you've gone through the struggle, after you've gone through the battle, to stand. Stand firm then. He says stand three times right there. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, we looked at that last week. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I took that screen and all that information there, and I boiled it down to one statement the first week, and I talked about it again last week, and I want to say it again this week. I think what Paul is saying is this: if I don't suit up, that is with the armor of God, I will be taken down. I will be defeated. You've got to suit up. You've got to wear the armor. You can't fight the battle spiritually without the armor. You can't fight naked. I know we like cool shirts, fight naked, you know, what? No, you can't do that when it comes to this. When it comes to God, when it comes to the spiritual battles, you don't want to be without the spiritual armor that God has given us. Otherwise, you'll be defeated. Otherwise, you'll be taken down. And if you saw, Paul says, we need to be able to stand. Last week was the belt of truth. Today, I'm moving on to the next piece of armor called the breastplate of righteousness. If you'll look at this, this is kind of what Roman soldiers would have looked like, the armor that they wore. And the reason Paul talks about armor is because he was in jail. The guy who wrote what I just said to you was in jail about 2,000 years ago. He was in jail for his faith, for being a Christian, for talking about Jesus, that he was being persecuted for that, put in jail because of it. And he had Roman soldiers that would have looked about like this, walking back and forth, guarding his cell, guarding the prison that he was in. And as he looked at them, he thought, just like the armor they have, we have armor as Christians, as followers of Jesus, and we need to wear that armor. And he connects a certain word with each piece of the armor. Last week was truth, and he talked about it being a belt that holds everything together. I said last week that truth is following Jesus, that we don't follow a book about him, we follow him. But the book tells us about him. That is, the Bible reveals the truth of Jesus. The Bible is true. Just want to make sure I say that today so that you didn't mishear me last week. We believe that. But we don't follow the Bible itself. We follow who's in it. Amen? Jesus. A relationship with him is what it's about. So we talked about that last week. And then today we move on to the breastplate of righteousness. And we need to ask ourselves, why does Paul equate the breastplate on a soldier with this idea of righteousness? So let me kind of share with you a little bit about what it did for a Roman soldier. I did some research on this. It's not too hard to figure out that if you don't wear the breastplate and you go into battle, you're in trouble. The breastplate protects vital or non-vital organs? Vital. Easy. Sunday school answer, I call that, right? Jesus, he's always the right answer, right? But vital organs, your heart, your lungs, all this stuff, right, in your core, that if that gets hit, you're done for. In fact, if a Roman soldier went into battle wearing everything but the breastplate of righteousness, or they didn't call it that, obviously, but the breastplate, instant death for them. I mean, they would have, it's easy to die. You would not go into battle as a Roman soldier without wearing the armor, the breastplate in place. You wanted that because it protected your core, the heart of who you really were. In fact, your heart. Last week I said that the belt was connected. It held the breastplate in place. So the breastplate would kind of go under the belt, and then the belt would go on and it would hold it where it needed to be. Not just that, but the under garments that we talked about last week. If you missed that, you can check it out. But what does all this mean? Why does he talk about this? Why does he call the breastplate righteousness? All right, we learn that it protects the heart. It protects the core of who we are. But I think we have to ask then, so what is righteousness, right? That's kind of it's really a Christian word, church word. You don't hear it very often except in the church. But what is it? Well, whenever I'm trying to figure out what a word means, I don't actually go to scripture and stuff first. I just go to dictionary.com. I used to have to look in a real dictionary, but now they've got dictionary.com, all the definitions right there. And I looked it up, and this is what it says about righteousness: acting in an upright, moral way or virtuous. Actually, that's the definition for righteous. So when I looked up righteousness, it says the act of being righteous. You know what I mean? So I had to look up righteous, acting in an upright, moral way, virtuous. Let me ask you something. Who would like to surround themselves with people who acted in an upright, moral way and were virtuous, right? Everybody. Wouldn't you like your coworkers to act this way? Wouldn't you like your family to act this way? Wouldn't you like church people to act this way? Wouldn't you like your preacher to act this way? I mean, right? This is... Everybody would say, yeah, I want to be surrounded, I think, by people like this. All right, I kind of took it a step further and said, basically, what this means is you're living right. That's kind of the John Kinney definition. It's just, if you talk about that first definition, acting in an upright moral way, virtuous, I said, well, the word right is in the word righteousness. So basically, it's talking about behavior. It's acting. It's what you do. It's not just a state of being, but it's what you do, it's your behavior, it's what people see, it's the evidence of your life, and so it means living right. Living right, not living wrong, right? And so there's a certain right way to live, but we have to take it a step further in the church, and we have to say, well, what does that mean spiritually? Because people can act virtuous and upright and things like that. People can live right. But what does it mean for the Christian? If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, what does it mean? And if you're not, again, check this out. Consider your life and what you're doing, and think about what I'm about to say to you, because this is what it means for the Christian: godly living. Another word for that would be holiness. You find that word throughout the Bible, in the Old and the New Testaments, the Old and New Covenants, I like to call them in Scripture. Holiness, you heard that word? There's scriptures where God says, be holy because I am holy. He's talking to people that follow him. Jesus talked about living a holy life. What is it? It's living right according to God's rules and laws and the behavior that he's called us to. Holiness. When Shauna and I were in college, the place that I had to chase her down and get her to relent and finally marry me, we would go to chapel 3 times a week, and it was required, so you had to show up. And I'm glad it was. It was good. And it, you know, life-changing for me. And we would have, in the middle of our times together studying and classes, you'd go to chapel as well. And in Hughes Auditorium at the college we went to, above the huge pipe organ, and I told the first services, you know, I took organ lessons when I was in college. I like a challenge, but that one was too much for me, and I quit in like 6 months, man. It's crazy. You got to play the piano with your feet, man. Like, hand up here. It's all. And I remember sitting in my professor's office. My parents were having to pay extra for this, and he was like, you know, John, I'm just not sure this is for you. You know, when you're like, yeah, I think you're right on that one. But above that organ and the pipe organ that I watched, listened to other amazing people play, there was this statement. It was just always there every time we went in. Holiness unto the Lord. That word. Holiness. Godly living unto the Lord. And sometimes if you've been in some traditional church settings, maybe you've seen that. A lot of times on an altar, a table like we have up here, carved into it, it'll say holiness unto the Lord. That is what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to be holy, to live the godly life. All right, what does this have to do with the breastplate? Follow this, all right? We're going to school today. Y'all ready for that? I know it's Sunday and you don't want to be in school, but listen, I got a lot here. Living right, right, which for our purposes implies godly living, holiness, not just living right, doing right, being virtuous. That's good, but we have to define that as Christians. What does that mean? It's connected to God, godly living, how he wants us to live, holiness. What we're saying is this: it's like a breastplate that protects our heart, our core, protects the very most important parts of who we are. By doing what God's called us to do, living the way he's called us to live. You know this is true. I do as well. I have done wrong. Has anybody else? We all have. All right? And when I do wrong, and when I go the wrong way, and when the scripture calls it sinning, I mean, when I sin, it hurts my own heart. Not only the hearts of others, not only my wife's heart, my children's heart, your heart, other people's hearts. We're connected. It's like our hearts are connected. And so when I don't wear the breastplate of righteousness, when I don't strive for godly living, for holiness, when I'm not doing that, I expose my heart to evil. And a lot of times it's instant death. I have experienced spiritual instant death where I have just messed up big time in my life in such a way that it killed me spiritually, where I felt like I was worthless and stuff. I felt this way. Some of you feel this way right now. Some of you, maybe you're struggling with kind of the remnants of that. Am I really worth anything because of this? It is so hard. Well, John, I got to live right. I got to do right. That's the breastplate of righteousness. Hang on. We're not done with this message. But yes, it protects us. Protects our hearts and our cores. One more note here. Last week, and I just said this again, it's connected to the belt of truth. Remember? All right, so follow this. Man, are y'all awake? You with me? All right. Last week we said the belt of truth is following Jesus because he is the truth. All right, y'all got that? So if the belt's connected to the breastplate on the Roman soldier, then truth is connected to righteousness. All right, last week, again, we said that truth is Jesus himself, and we discover the truth by following him. And so here's what I'm saying. When we follow Jesus, don't go to the next screen yet, we slowly, over time, by God's grace, this is like that on and on definition, but I think it's required, because I think sometimes I've heard what I'm about to tell you, and I didn't hear this part, and I felt like a loser, because I didn't hear this part. I was like, well, I can't do that. The next part I'm about to show you, but let's just review. When we follow Jesus, all right, if you're following the truth, that is, you're walking with Jesus, you are, by the way, reading the Bible, praying, in community, striving to do what God called you to. When you follow Jesus, slowly, it's not fast for most people, it's not instantaneous, that ought to give some of us hope, right? It's over time, by God's grace, this is what's going to happen. You'll start to live right. You'll become holy. When I follow Jesus, slowly, over time, and by God's grace, I will begin to live right. Guaranteed that I won't fall off the path? Nope, I've fallen off the path. Anybody else? Even after you were trying. But slowly, and he uses even our mistakes, by the way, so good. Over time, and by his grace, I begin to live right. Let me take this a step further. What I mean is there will be less, listen, and less sin in my life, and more godly fruit and evidence that I'm his and that I'm walking with him. You hearing me? There is a, I just have to stop here and say that I think that there is a danger in a church like ours. So I just want to pause for a moment and talk and just caution us. The caution is this. We try to say and we want to be and we strive to be a welcoming and accepting church. I long for that. I want anybody, y'all hear me? Anybody to feel loved and accepted here as they are, where they are. Okay? But as I walk with Jesus in a place like this, it does mean, because see, I think we like to go, well, this means I can do whatever. Our flesh loves this. I can do whatever I want. I can act like whatever I want. This is great, you know? But slowly, over time, you follow me? By God's grace, I'll begin to live right. What this means is today, I'm a little more like Jesus than I was yesterday. This is not me saying this. This is what the biblical narrative teaches. Jesus said to follow him, and Jesus said to be like him. Jesus himself quoted his father in the Old Covenant. The Old Testament said, be holy. You're called to be right, to do right, to live right, to be righteous. And here's the thing. Why does Jesus talk about that? Why does Paul talk about the... It's because he knows that that rightness, that holiness guards our hearts, protects us. In the Old Testament, it says, protect your heart at all costs. It is the wellspring of life. Everything flows out of my core, my heart. I'm not talking about your physical heart, your whatever this spiritual heart thing is, which is hard to describe. You know what it is, though, right? The you, that you can't describe, that's not your physical heart, but is you, protect that at all costs. So when I follow Jesus, slowly, I know I'm hanging on this, over time, and by God's grace, I'll begin to live right. And doesn't mean you don't make mistakes, I do. Doesn't mean you won't go off the path, I have. But over time, you begin to be more like Jesus. All right. Now, I want to clarify something related to this. I feel like I did that last week with truth. This first part is so important, everything I just said, but I need to clarify something because it's one of the most common mistakes, and I have made it in my life. I've made this mistake that I'm about to share with you, and it messed me up for years. You guys want to know what that is as it relates to righteousness? You need to know, we need to know where righteousness really comes from. Because everything I've just said can cause you to become a striver of righteousness. That's good. You want to live right. I want to do right. It might make you wake up tomorrow and read the Bible if you haven't read it in a long time or pray. That's good. But you got to be so careful. Because even when you do that, I think we have an enemy that comes in and says, hey, let me tell you about this thing called trying to earn acceptance. Anybody trying to become acceptable to God in this room? I have. I've spent a lifetime doing it. And so I want to say this. Living right or trying to live right, it can lead us to a false sense of righteousness, which is called self-righteousness. Some of us are trying to be righteous in our own selves. That has probably been my biggest struggle personally. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness looks like this. Here's what it looks like. You're trying to become acceptable to God. And so you try to stack up more good things than bad things. And if your bad things surpass your good things, you're like, well, now I got to do some good things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's like, if I can just take me now, Lord, because I got two more good things than bad things, and I might make it into heaven. And churches teach this. It's when you get there, do you have enough good things over your bad things? Y'all, that's a formula for death. That's the entire old covenant way of living. Some of us are living old covenant theology when it comes to God. The old covenant is very important. What they talk about in the new covenant with Jesus is the old covenant was meant to show you. It says this in Scripture. I'm just paraphrasing. You can look it up. It says it's meant to show you that you can't keep it. How else would I know that I was doing wrong if you didn't tell me I shouldn't do this and then I do it? Does that make sense? If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't do that. They do it. Right? We all do that. We're all God's kids, right? And so we do this so often. So self-righteousness doesn't work, meaning that I'm trying to stack up my good over my bad. In fact, when it comes to self-righteousness in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said this about it, just to make sure we get it. He said, all of us have become like the one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts, you would think that would be good. All our righteous acts, keep doing them. Is that what the prophet says? No, he says, are like filthy rags. Picture of, I was going to bring some filthy rags, but I decided to just put a picture up because I didn't want to touch them. But this is what the prophet said, my selfish, self-righteous, trying to become acceptable to God ways are like filthy rags to him. Well, that's not very good news. Why even try? Amen. Some of you kind of in your heads going, this is too hard. I mean, what? But this is self-righteousness. You and I need another kind of righteousness. We need Christ's righteousness. We need Jesus' righteousness. Because you know what? Jesus was not like filthy rags. Jesus was clean and pure and perfect and sinless and died on my behalf. And when he did that, it was like he took that piece of armor, which would have been the armor of God. Would you like to wear Jesus' breastplate for your armor? Jesus says, hey, why don't you take off your armor, your breastplate, that selfish, you're trying to get there, if you can just stack up, you're trying to become acceptable to me breastplate, which is not working, it's really killing you in the end. Why don't you take that off? I've got one for you. It's mine, and I'll put it on you. And Christ himself clothes us in his armor. Y'all, that's just good. Christ himself clothes us in his own armor. Christ righteousness. Take off yours and put on his. It's like borrowing his armor. Paul, who wrote Ephesians, the armor of God, got to move quickly. In Philippians chapter 3, he talks about this back and forth thing with, if you're like, I don't know this. He talks about trying to be acceptable to God and self-righteousness versus Christ righteousness. He says this, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. He's talking about Christians, right? We put no confidence, none, in human effort, in trying to become acceptable to God on our own, goes on. Though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Now stop there, don't read any further, just listen. Paul, look up here. Paul was, he was like, look, if you want to play the game of who's done more good than another, I'll play with you. And I'm going to win. Because he says, I could have confidence in my own effort. He sounds arrogant, doesn't he? But he's trying to prove a point. Watch where this goes. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I'm better than y'all. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. He would have gone, how many of you men were circumcised when you were 8 days old? And some of them would have raised their hands. Some of them wouldn't. Gentiles wouldn't have been able to do anything back then. Oh, gosh, I'm out. That's what you did. God said, be circumcised on the eighth day. And he was. All right, it goes on. I'm a pure-blooded, not half-blooded, not kind of blooded, pure-blooded. He sends in the DNA test. What's that thing? You know, pure-blooded, right? I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I'm a member of the Pharisees. That's the religious elite crowd doing it all right, who demand the strictest obedience. The rest of y'all were like doing stuff. You're like kind of breaking the rules when you want to. Nuh-uh, not us. We were living them all out. Who demand the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I was so zealous, and it went beyond that. I was zealous, and I harshly persecuted the church. Jesus followers. He wasn't a Jesus follower at the time. And as for righteousness, he's talking about self-righteousness here. I obeyed the law without fault. I was acceptable if anybody was. Now look at what he says. I once thought these things were valuable. I once thought that was what it was about, trying to become acceptable to God by living right, doing right. Check out what he says. But now I consider them, what's the word? Worthless. Because of what Christ has done. Jesus' righteousness. He goes on. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's the walking with Jesus, the belt of truth. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, refuse. The best word for that is the stuff that's in my backyard from my dog. Do you know what I'm talking about? I ran over it with the lawnmower yesterday, so the aroma came out. I know y'all are like, that's disgusting. That's what he's saying right here. That's the Greek word for it. It's dung, basically. So that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count. This is what I wish we could say. I no longer count on my own righteousness, on trying to be acceptable to God through obeying the law. It's not by doing right. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. Y'all, this is so good. He's talking about what makes him acceptable to God. And he says, on one hand, I tried to be acceptable to God by doing it on my own. I consider it worthless. It's garbage. It's refuse. And I've done this. Have you not? He says, but on the other hand, knowing Jesus, walking with Jesus, has become everything to me and has made me. Jesus has made me, his armor, his life has made me, his blood has made me, his body, his sacrifice, because he was perfect, has made me acceptable to God. And because of that, I want to live for him. Now, he doesn't talk about that here, but he goes on. Paul, do you think Paul lived a righteous life? Absolutely. It's that he just didn't connect it. He did live right. But it was born out of the truth of following Jesus, not just trying to live right. And you're made to live right, my friends. You know this? You're made for good works. You are made to do good. Don't leave this here with, I'm accepted by God, and that's great, so I can do whatever. No, no, no. You're called. When you walk with him, you will slowly, over time, begin to what? By his grace, begin to what? Live right. Be holy. You'll still make mistakes, but don't let that. I think sometimes we just hang out at the cross too long. You're like, that's weird. You have to go to the cross, but then you have to go to the grave that was open, where the power of the resurrection gives you the ability to live the life that he's called you and me to live. We are called to this because you're called to good works. Here's what he says in Ephesians. I love this. I write this in cards sometimes to people. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good, I would say righteous things he planned for us long ago. You are made for righteousness. You are made for good works. You're made to do good. It's just that you're not made to think that that's somehow going to get you to God. It doesn't. You are already God's. You are already God's children. You're not a God. That could come out wrong. You are God's children. You are his. You don't have to earn your way. What blocks my ability to do everything I'm talking about today? Can I just tell you, we're about to close. Can I tell you, there's one thing I think more than anything else that will block your ability before you walk out of here today. There is one thing. It's the last sin I think to go. I know because I've lived this myself. I continue to live it. Ultimately, it's this, pride. Some of us will leave what I've said today. Some of you who aren't followers of Jesus will say, no, thank you. I don't need a God to save me. I'm good enough on my own. Pride. Arrogance. Some of us, though, who are Christians, no, thank you. I'm a little better than I was. I'm stacking up the good over the bad, and I'm trying to just keep it barely ahead. Pride, arrogance keeps me from Jesus. Because if you say that I will do it, then you are prideful and arrogant. What we must say is, God, I cannot do it. I am not able to live the life that you've called me to live. I must be rescued. I must have you. Will you lift me out of this? And he says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Yes. Let's do it. I'm going to mess up. It's fine. I got you, man. That's what I died for. Let's not mess up just to mess up. But let's do this. Let's get up. Let's go. Man, pride will keep me from so many things of God. Don't let it keep you from what he has for you today. This is life-altering. Life-altering. This is life-altering. Y'all, this is life-altering. Life-altering. Bottom line, I would say this. Accept the fact that you're accepted and stop trying to make yourself acceptable. I wrote that and I was like, that's a tongue twister, but that's me. I just had to accept the fact that I was accepted and stop trying to make myself acceptable. Can I tell you the freedom that you will experience when you do this? Freedom. Who wants freedom? I'm not just trying to make you emotional. I am for a moment here, just emotional. Who wants freedom? Freedom is found in knowing that you're accepted. Young person sitting in the room, young female, teenager sitting in the room. Don't waste your time doing what I did. Accept that you're accepted. And live the life he's called you to. What if he asked me? You'll be fine. Just follow him. You'll be amen. Y'all, adults, and young men too, I'm talking to you, I said women, girls, all of us, listen, accept the fact that you're accepted. Stop trying to make yourself acceptable to God. That kind of righteousness will protect me in the battle. because I don't have to rely on me. I got Christ's armor. I've got his breastplate on. I can take on anything, amen? There is nothing that you can do to me, not even kill me, that will take God's life from me, that doesn't make me acceptable in his sight. It doesn't matter. Some of you have sinned this week, and you're letting that beat you down into the ground. You need to just get up. Go. Let's go. You have Christ's righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. You're relying on yourself. Rely on Christ. Amen. Amen.